الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. This was a malfuz. Malfuz means a discussion, some advice given by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimullah on one occasion. In one gathering, he spoke about a letter that had reached him. It was an issue that Muslims wanted to build a masjid. Normally the Hindu will be against it. But it always happens in every town, when the issue goes about who is not allowing the masjid. It was from that era and it never stops. Even there when the people checked up, so the Hindus told them that we got no issue. That one Muslim got an issue. He is the one there. That he is saying there's no need for a masjid in this area. Our politics have never ended from that time. So they said, we found out about the person, his name is Jamaluddin. So Jamaluddin means the beauty of Deen. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimullah was sad. So first he wrote that I don't think his name can be Jamaluddin. I think maybe his name is Zawaluddin. Zawaluddin means that man who's lost his Deen. He says, then they wrote to me, but he's the murid of a very great sheikh. So then he said that the Spiri Muridi is an old story. Meaning everyone takes bayat, but not everyone wants to become good. Some people just take bayat because it's another certificate. Just another certificate. He said that means nothing. He says amazing it is that when people get a little show, how they lose their deen. So on that point now his mind went away. Meaning he went to another point. And then he says, this reminded me of another incident. He said there was another Jamaluddin. The people used to call him Munshi. Munshi in that time meant like an alim. He was an alim. So he made a nikah with a very wealthy, influential woman. A Ra'isa, a leader. And his wife, her prominence made him prominent also. The only problem is he was an alim. But his wife, she was very staunch, strong. She could handle many things. And she was more in the parliament and in the office than him also. But she never used to come with parda. Never used to come with parda. So obviously you are being an alim, but you're an alim at the same time, you like what is called the mayor, the head of the area. So everyone is scared to speak normally. Behind the back, the whole world speaks. But in front, that sheikh's wife, meaning mayor's wife, got no parda. If he's just mayor, no problem. But he's an alim, why no parda? So one day it happened that someone heard his reading Quran. So they were very like, you read well, and you the mayor. So when salah time came, they brought him first. And they said, you are in charge and you read so well, you should be the imam. Now he was an alim. So he found nothing wrong with it and he did go front. However, the imam of that area happened to also be in that, because there they have many masajid. So it happened the imam of that area, he happened to be there that day. And when he saw this man being pulled front, you get some people who are not scared of anything. Some are very scared, some are not scared. So he grabbed his hands and he says, what you do out of the masjid is your story. But don't you dare go on the musalla because your wife makes no parda. In front of everyone, he said that. That's like... change it. So he says, your wife doesn't make parda. What you going on the musalla for? Masala wise, that's not fair. And in front of everyone to disgrace him is not fair at all. What his wife does, but you get some imams. He said, no way you going. He said, somebody else make namaz. Now everyone is scared. Because whoever is going to go in front now, you like telling the mayor, you go back. So no one's going. So finally the mayor looked at the imam sahab and he said, now, so the imam sahab. He said, if there's no one to read namaz, I'll read namaz, but you're not reading namaz no matter. So Satanwi Rahimullah says, when I heard this waqiyah, I'm thinking about this alim, this mayor. That normally when you become a mayor, head, pride overtakes you. And in the salah, he must be thinking, I'm going to get this man fired. That let salah finish. This will be his last salah. He says, but he wasn't thinking of that. In salah, he was thinking about that what this man said is right. That how can I conduct myself as an alim, an imam? How can I stand on the musalla? And I have never told my wife to go into parda. So he says, look at that. So he says, as soon as the salah was finished, people thought something's going to happen. And it's going to happen to poor imam. Because it's easy to take revenge on the weak. But this mayor stood up and he went straight back. When he came there, he found his wife sitting in like a parliament. All big, big people. And she was listening, handling the affairs. And he just came to say that I thought about this issue today in my salah. Meaning what the imam sahab said is right. He said, you must decide about your life. If you want to be in charge and in front of all of these men without parda, then no problem. But then I'll divorce you 3 times. You live your life, I live my life. She was a very prominent woman. He would have lost everything. She was more important than him. He says, but what a woman also. She had become so in love with her husband that she also said that if you don't want me to be here, I won't be here. If you don't want me to be here, I won't be here. How fast she changed. Hazrat Anwar Rahimullah says, I got amazed at him, I got amazed at her also. Because normally when you disgrace a person, in front of everyone, that's when pride stops you accepting the truth. But you get those people, they were not bothered about who's looking. That if you feel I shouldn't be here, then I won't be here. I'm your wife first. So then Hazrat Anwar Rahimullah says, that later on people told me about this alim, that Allah Tawarukala now gave him tawfiq. Look at his, he changed, his wife changed. What a heart you must have for that. So he says that someone mentioned to me about the same person. That once there was a Dawud carrying on with all his friends. Like what we have, either a walima or some Dawud. And then in India you would have what was known as the dirt cleaner. I never understood this until we went and we saw it. That you get those places where you don't have toilets. You call it gathering places. The dirt gathers. And in the morning now it's hard and you get the cleaner who takes it away. It's not a nice job, but for every job Allah has created someone. And if no one does it. But this man is normally looked at as the low class. The very low class. That's why they get this job. We went to a graveyard and we saw one man coming out of the grave without clothing. Imagine if you just walk in a grave and you see a man without clothing come out. What do you think? Someone thought like a jinn coming out because he only had that covering his main private part. So someone, one person said, this is a madman. Like, that's why, I mean, who will take out all his clothing and go in a grave? And later on someone said, no, these are the cleaners. They're not Muslim, but they have the lowest class. Lowest class. And they do all of the small works where now he's going into the sewage. And he's cleaning out there. That's why they dress like this. So one man like this, of a very low class, very low class. He came and he said, Mia. And he asked, where's the mayor? But the mayor was an alim. That is why it's not necessary that every alim must teach. That you say, you're becoming an alim, what are you going to do when you graduate? Business. So what you became an alim for? It's not necessary. An alim can do business. Our desire will be every businessman must be an alim. Because you must know your deen. It's not necessary every alim must teach. Yes, wherever he gets the opportunity, he should impart his knowledge. Wherever he gets the opportunity. What is alim? Ilm is to know what Allah wants from. Because he was a mayor, but he had ilm. Because he had ilm. When the man came and said, Mia, meaning sir, I want to become Muslim. So another person would say, is this the time? He being a mayor in front of all his friends, he called one of the workers and he said, see, take this person and take him for a bath immediately. After bathing, give him one of my cloths, my clothing, and let him dress up nicely and then bring him back. Now when the man came back, he called him and he told him, I'm so happy that you're accepting Islam. And he told him, read Kalima. The man read Kalima and said, thank you, and I'm going now, sorry I troubled you. So he says, no way you're going, you stay here. You stay here. After the meal you go. He said, as soon as he said that, they could see on everyone's face a frown now. Because this man of that low class, even Muslims don't even touch this person. You have to see it in India, like, I won't touch you, so you're of that low class. Now when he said, stay for meals, so he saw on the foreheads of people this frown. So he said, oh my friends, you relax, carry on eating nicely. This guy will never eat with you all. So I'm not going to send him to your plate, you got nothing to worry about. He says, rather he's going to eat with me. He'll eat in my plate. He says, the only reason I'm doing this is because at the moment in this gathering, I do not think there can be anyone more purer than him. Because he has just accepted Islam, so he got absolutely no sin. As for us, we're full of sin. He says, you people relax, enjoy. He is not going to come and eat with you. And he says, neither am I going to give you the honor of him eating with you. This honor is for me. So thereafter, Hazrat Anwi Rahimullah says that thinking of that now, I will tell you my own waqiyah. If anyone knows Mullah Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahimullah, he was of a very wealthy family. From his student days, his everything was in order, tartib. Even during his studies, like you get some students like that also. Everything to the T. Nothing must go out of place. So even exam time, where everyone used to study till late, he had his time set. Every day what time I finish, I must finish the time. There's no extra time. His life was from the beginning. His badam, his oils, everything in place. So he had a very like a Shahi nature, like a king nature. And in that king nature, it is also that it's very hard to drink somebody else's leftover water. He says, I couldn't even drink another sheikh's leftover water. I would see my friends taking the water, Hazrat Barakah. And I would say that, you know, you take the barakah of Hazrat's water, I'll take barakah of Hazrat's teachings. Like, that's what he would say. He said, I just couldn't do it. He said, I couldn't take a sheikh's water as barakah. But he says, a day came in my life. He says, I reached a certain place where one of these bangis, these people of this low caste, he had just accepted Islam. Someone brought him with nice white clothing. He came to the main masjid to read Salah. So someone said to me, it's your bayan today. This man just accepted Islam. You know, in this town, the people got a very bad habit. That forget even inviting this man for a dawah. They will not even shake his hand to say, Mubarak, you accepted Islam. So you speak about it. You tell them. So he says, now I'm thinking that it's important what they're saying is right. Forget the issue about they can hurt his heart. says they can hurt Islam like this. And he accepted Islam and you don't even want to touch his hands. He said, but then I thought about bayans, like who listens to bayans? And these people grew up in this. So he says, so when that person came for the bayan, normally you have water. So he said, I called for a bottle or the cup of water, which has like a small opening like this. You can't get away from the opening. And then when it came and everyone's looking at me and they all loved him in the place. So when it came, then I took it. And then before I just put it on my lips, I said, you want water? Because he was right, I said, drink. So he was like very happy, new Muslim. So he took it, half in, half out, maybe whatever he did. So some people when they drink like, I don't know what you call it, backwash. In, out, so he drank. And then Hazrat Anu Rahimullah said, then I did that which I never thought I could ever do. He said, I had never drank the leftover of even a sheikh. And I just took it in my mouth and I started drinking. He says, I don't know how Allah wanted, how Allah made it. He says, even inside I could feel myself saying, don't do it. He says, tabiat is something else, but aqal and shariat is something else. He said, I forced myself, I drank. And then I put it. And then I asked the person next to me, you want some? Because they all say, Hazrat Barakah. So naturally now he says, whether he wanted or he never wanted, he couldn't say no. I said, okay, drink little and give all of them. Make sure everyone gets. So Hazrat Barakah. He says, no person had the courage to say, I don't want. But they never wanted. Because that man's barakah was also in. He says, the whole masjid drank. That whole group. Everyone. He says, whether they were happy or they were not happy, they put that water in their mouth. He says, later on, I spoke to a couple of the main people and I said, in the future, don't ever do this. Like, how can you not shake a man's hand? So he says, that elder said, Hazrat, forget shaking the hand of the man. All that nonsense left us. You put that man in us. So forget touching his hand. You put him in us. Now he's in every limb of our body. Because his water is in him. They finished. Game over. From now on we'll shake his hand. We'll eat with him also. He's in us already. He says, sometimes in life. He says, I never thought in my life I'll ever be able to do this. But for the sake of Shariat, he says, on that day Allah made me forget my own tabiat. And I had to do it. So then he ends on this point. He says, the crux of the waqiyah is this here. That it only happened to me once in my life. But I thank Almighty Allah that although it was difficult for me, but Allah on that day, He allowed my aqal to be above my desires. He says, what made me do it is fear. Fear. That made me do it. What fear? The fear that although I am a believer for so many years, but in a single second Allah can make me into a disbeliever. Like how He made this disbeliever into a believer. How He made the disbeliever into a believer. In a second He can make this believer into a disbeliever. He says this fear about Iman must always be with us. It is when this fear will take control of our mind, we will find it very hard to look down on any person. We will not even be able to look down on a kafir at the moment. Because there's always the possibility he might just accept Islam. And whenever we will look at ourselves, we won't be able to look at ourselves with pride. Because there'll always be that fear, what if Allah just makes me change. As he made him change and what he believed for a whole life, he said, I want to accept Islam. Because the other can also. So that was a very nice malfuz. He taught us of Jamaluddin and Zawaluddin. That sometimes a man who you think is supposed to look after deen and the masajid, but the love of the world spoils him. And sometimes a mayor, where you say, look at you, your wife is not even in parda. But he turned out better than everybody else. He was able to pull her down into parda. He was able to break his pride. He was able to eat with the man who no one was ready to eat with him. How we look at people on the outside, Almighty Allah, many a time He judges by things that are on the inside. Inside things come out now and then. Almighty Allah knows everyone's inside. Allah make our inside pure and pleasing to Him. With regards to Salah, we ended off with the discussion of the Qiraat. We will repeat this again and then go into the Ameen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Salah. His mission was Quran and his mission was Salah. And to be able to get a good Salah was what pleased him. If someone never read a good Salah, he said, go back and read Salah. You never even want to reply. He replied to the Salah, but he said, no, go back. And when he saw Sahaba radiallahu anhu reading a nice Salah, he smiled, and that was the last time majority of them ever saw him. He smiled. Then in Salah he would say, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. That if you have no surah Fatiha, then there's no Salah, you shouldn't have read it also. So normally in the books of hadith and fiqh and in the madrasas, this hadith is only looked at as an issue about must I read surah Fatiha, or mustn't I read, I'm a Hanafi, I don't read. He reads, he says my Salah is not, I tell him, no, you don't have to read. Normally we only look at it in this light. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't discussing it in that. He had already made mention, if you got an imam, the imam's qiraat is for you qiraat. When he was speaking about there's no salah illa bi fatihatil kitab, he was speaking about if your surah Fatiha is not good, then your salah is not good. If your surah Fatiha has no value, has no life, then your whole salah, because the salah is al-Fatiha. You haven't got Fatiha, you got no salah. La salah illa bi fatihatil kitab. Example, you say, the grandfather is not coming for this dawah. They say, without grandfather, there's no dawah. So without him, there's no dawah. The dawah is still there. See, there is no life in this. Why it was mentioned? Sometimes what we learn from young becomes too natural. And when it becomes too natural, we don't worry about it. You'll see it, Duai Kunut. They say, the enemy attacked last night. There'll be Kunut after Fajr. So in the second rakat, you'll see everyone comes alive. Now the Imam starts his Dua. Especially when he says, Allah, bang them, bomb them, destroy them, break them. And you say, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Everyone got Ameen. Why? Something new. Something new. Then you ask the person, what did the Imam read in the first rakat? Say, I don't know. But the top kunut he gave. Why? Because it's new. So he was worried about this. He said, without Fatiha, there's no Salah. Meaning when you start, Allahu Akbar, your mind must be that even if I lose my concentration in the rest of the Salah, I can't miss out the Fatiha. I can't miss out the Fatiha. Surah Fatiha, crux is 3 points. One is, I stand in front of Allah to ask. So when I'm going to ask for something, you first praise, then you ask. You don't just jump. In praising Almighty Allah, you could have praised Allah in any condition. Oh Allah, you are the greatest, you are the most powerful, you are my creator. How I like you, how wonderful you are, how beautiful is your sky. But then where do you stop? So another way was to just say, oh Allah, praise belongs to you. That whatever could be the words of praise is yours. For whatever I could praise you, it's all yours. Al praise belongs to you. It's called going the other way around. It's called going the other way around. Example, you say, you own this, you own that, you own that, you own that. Then afterwards you tell the man, what don't you own? He say, that's the right thing. What don't you own? One short sentence which covered up all the sentences. So one you say, you are this, you are that, you are that. And one you say, praise belongs to you. Praise belongs to him. One. Number two, my condition is such that I need a contact. I need a contact. So you say, Maliki Yawmiddin. There is one day where everyone's judgment will take place. And I know I might not pass on that day. But if I got a contact, you are the contact. Maliki Yawmiddin. So point one, praise belongs to you. Point two, I need a contact. So what I promise you, for you to be my contact, is I will worship you, only you, and I will only ask you for help. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. So from my side, like how you tell the contact, what you want? In South Africa it is, I'll give you 50,000 rand, sort out this for me. 100,000, sort out that. 150,000, sort that guy out. The thing out. Everything got to do. I'll give you something, you give me something. Contact. This is a contact with Allah. I will give you, I'll only worship you, and I will only ask you for help. But I need you on the door. So point one, praise belongs to you. Point two, I need a contact. Point three, but I will only manage to do what I promised if you help me. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. I will only manage. Today when we thought in the morning, we explained this. I will repeat this here because it's beneficial. At the end of Surah Fatiha comes this point. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. That Allah will only manage to live up to this promise if you help me in this. The reason is the world broke up into three parts. There's a part of a group of people on who you favored. But they are very, very small percentage of the world. How small? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Nabi Adam alayhi salam will be told on the day of Qiyamah, these are all your children. All your children. So because you the father of all, normally you tell the father, sort out your children. He said, whoever has to go Jahannam or Adam, you send them. And whoever has to go Jannah or Adam, you send them. You the father. So Nabi Adam alayhi salam will ask, O Allah, that just tell me before I start, how many in Jannah and how many in Jahannam? And Allah Tabarakullah will say, from every 100, 99 in the fire and 1 in Jannah. I want you to think of that number. From every 100, 99. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that will be a day where the young person will become old also. Because you don't know if I'm going to make it. Maybe many of them later on will come out of the fire. But going into the fire is not an easy thing. So percentage wise in the world, who will make it is very small. Very small. At the end of Surah Fatiha, you're showing that. That there's a road on who you favored, only they made it. There's a group of people on who you favored, only they made it. Can you put me on that road? Can you put me on that road? Otherwise, the rest of the world divided into two. One is those who knew the truth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example. He said, the Yahud, they were known as the people of the Kitab. They were known as Al-Hibru, he's the ink. He used to call him. He studied all the scriptures. He knew it. But despite knowing it, when it came to the love of wealth or lust, then they acted like they never know. So if we think it means, O Allah, put me on the straight path, the path of those who you favored, meaning the Muslims, not the Jews, not the Christians, there won't be any feeling in Surah Fatiha. Rather, what Surah Fatiha means. Just like how the Yahud knew the truth. Amongst me and you, we also know the truth. Ilm. But there are certain times in life where either in the love of wealth, and that exam can come at any time. Inheritance time, we see how many faith. Inheritance. Lust. Lust. Anger. Feelings. It's at that time that even if a person knows the truth, he acts like he doesn't know the truth. He acts like he doesn't. Divorce. The husband has to give maintenance. He doesn't want to. They want extra. They know they're not entitled to. The poor alim goes to tell them, this is the masala. They say, you shut up. We know the masala. And we don't want to know the masala. It's what we want. So at that time, the alim will just say, if their one surah Fatiha was accepted, they would not have behaved like that. If ilm is there and you are not doing, it means your ameen for surah Fatiha has still not given you results. He said, Allah, let me never be the one who knows and still behaves like I don't know. That is called al-maghdub alayhi. And this exam can come at any time. At any time. There were those people who said, the alim, the father made him in charge of the estate. Because he said, you know how. He says, but then he behaved like he doesn't know. So what made him do that? And lust is the second. When the man knows what I'm doing is not right, but he still makes it right. He makes it last. غير المغضوب يعني. It can happen to me, it can happen to you. So every salah when we make this dua, we say, Allah, the group who you favored are very few. That every day shaitan tried to attack them, but he never won. Every day he attacked, he never won. Can you put me in that group? How much of feeling there is in Surah Fatiha? It is a dua like no other dua. Can you put me in that group? You should not let me be like the man who knows and I get caught with lust or greed and I act like I don't know. And nor should you let me ever be like the man who in ignorance I lose my path. Meaning I never know. I took a wrong road. One man came. There are those people who know and they go far. Far astray, you feel bad about them. Then there are those who are ignorant. One sheikh comes. He just makes little but poo-poo, papa. Sometimes, when I was in England, they showed me here also, they show sheikh what? Chuf, chuf. So everyone laughs. But when I went to England, they said, Mona, you can laugh, but the people here go wild. Wild. So our people also, they have love, natural love. Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, I go Bangladesh. The people of Bangladesh got too much love. But our Akabir were true. If they wanted to, they could have pulled money from people's pockets. Because people have love. That's ignorance. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib would say, in Bangladesh, the people got so much of love that at the end of the bayan, they say, Hazrat, make dumb. They come far. They don't come for the bayan. They come for the dumb. Hazrat must blow on them and game over. You won. He says, but now how are you going to blow on every single one? He says, Bangladesh crowds can go into the thousands. And if everyone comes, he says, I'll have no dumb left. Dumb means breath. So in the ending, he says that very big majma. So everyone open your collar like this, and I'm going to blow in the mic. And you see everyone grab it, and they go like this, and they rub. He says, the people got so much of love. So you get, now if the sheikh wants to take you for a ride, he can take you for any ride. Any ride. And they are those who have taken people for rides. And you feel sad. You really feel sad. In different names, they go to different islands. And they see amazing things. And then they come back. And then the marriage is breaking. And a lot of things happen. The other day, the candidate antifreeze. So the person said, get antifreeze. So when I brought it, so my son, he took the antifreeze and he said, I'm going to take a picture and send it to us. I said, what are you talking about? And he reminded me, he said, remember that one sheikh who gave his murid an antifreeze to drink? He killed her. So it was a long story. Then they caught him. They asked, like, did you give her antifreeze? He said, yeah. Did you kill her? No. He said, then? He says, there's one jinniya in her. To kill that jinni, I had to give her antifreeze. He said, so who taught you to kill the jinn, use antifreeze? Like, that's for the car. I was thinking my car got a jinn. Not working. That's for the car. How you put antifreeze in her? Antifreeze. So my son had the antifreeze. So I take a picture and send it to the chef. Like, here's the, you need another bottle. Antifreeze. But at that time when we heard how that sheikh took his people for a ride, how the sheikh took it, and what a ride. And like that in the world, may Allah save us all, we'll never know when we can be taken for a ride. You'll laugh at it and you'll think it'll never happen, never happen. And then when I look at the people who it happened to, I don't find them to be foolish people. Very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. That you wonder, how did you make this mistake? How did you make this mistake? He said, Sheikh, I mentioned this previously. He said, we went with the Sheikh to see the animals. There was a zebra there. Then the Sheikh laughed. We said, Hazrat, what makes you laugh? Sahaba would ask questions that. Oh, Nabi of Allah, what made you smile? He said, why shouldn't I smile when Allah is smiling? So Sheikh said, why shouldn't I laugh at the zebra's joke? Zebra says, Sulaiman alayhi salam. Like, you see, you know the talk of the zebras. He says, Hazrat, what joke did the zebra make? He says, no, really, no joke. I just asked the zebra, any lions around here? So zebra said, Hazrat, if there was a lion here, I wouldn't be standing and talking to you. He said, ha, what a joke. Like, Hazrat said, oh, subhanAllah. He says, today now we're thinking what stupids we were. Like, we're making subhanAllah. Like, Hazrat speaks to the zebra. If the zebra could laugh on that day, he'd laugh at all of them. You're all more stupid than anyone. You're all with this year. But when I see them, they were not foolish people. They were not foolish. What caught them? Allah lifted one barrier of protection. That's all. One barrier of protection got lifted and he spoiled the whole life. Whole life. We'll never know our future. This surah is a dua for every day. It's a dua for every salah. Because after that salah, you can either make a mistake in love of lust and wealth, or in ignorance. In love, someone can take you for a ride. We'll never know when we can slip. So this dua says, Allah, I need a contact on the day of Qiyam. I promise I'll only worship you, but I need your help for this. Because there are only three groups that I've seen in the world. The one group that I need to be in is a very small group. It's a very small group. Now when you say that dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there's a jamaat of angels waiting to say Ameen. Shaykh Waliullah rahimullah mentioned there are angels who write our actions. He says, I don't think it's them. He says, then there are those angels whose job is to be in the protection of man, muhafiz. He said, I don't think it's them. He said, there's another group of angels mentioned in the ahadith whose job is to move in the world in search of zikrullah. And wherever they find zikrullah, to also gather there. He says, what they gather there? For what they get out of it? Because then after the gathering finishes, those angels go up to Almighty Allah. Those angels. And then Almighty Allah asks, how did you find my servants? So the question is, what do the angels get out of it? What do the angels get? So Shah Waliullah Rahimullah wrote a very nice discussion. He said, there's a group of angels called Al-Mala'ul A'la. Mala'ul A'la means the very high. The very high. It's called like a parliament. Very high group. And Allah Tabarakallah created them with a feeling of love towards men. With the feeling of love. So their job is just to pay attention to man in the world. That's all. And wherever they see man in a bad state, it hurts them. And it brings them on making dua for the better state of man. And wherever they see man doing good, they become happy. And they start making further dua that he should progress further. He says, now that group of angels, they are kept in a certain, and they are always discussing man. That's where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Almighty Allah asked me once, Do you know what Al-Malaw Al-A'la is discussing? And thereafter Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Malaw Al-A'la was discussing small actions which take man very far. Small actions. He made wuzu, it was cold water, but he made a nice wuzu. He was walking to the masjid, such a small action, that they discussing. That they looking at what can man score on, they were discussing that. So he says, Al-Malaw Al-A'la, the love that they have for man. He says, Allah makes that love drop from them. And it drops onto another group of lower angels. That group of lower angels then get knocked with this love. That they just have love for the good of man. And they have understood that if a man's Fatiha can be accepted, then his life is accepted. If his Fatiha can be accepted, everything opens. So they go in search of a person reading Salah, waiting for his Surah Fatiha to end, just so that they can add their Ameen to his Ameen. That, oh Allah, if there's no way to benefit him, but at least I can say, accept his dua. Because if his Ameen is accepted, Fatiha means that which opens up. It will open up all the problems. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, now when the person says Ameen, oh Allah, accept. If his Iman is found in line with the Iman of Ameen of the angels, if his Ameen is found in line, muwafiq. Some have said muwafiq in time, that at that same moment you say Ameen, and the angel said Ameen. That's like a gamble, they normally say. If you throw and he throws at the same moment, then you'll win this. That's a harder one. Same moment. Others have said no, with the same feeling. If your Ameen is found to have the feeling of the Ameen of the angel, then your past and your future has now been forgiven. Your past and your future has now been forgiven. So now in our Salah in the next week, when the Imam says, Allahu Akbar, we are just getting ready for that Fatiha. La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. If that Fatiha is not good, then there's no salat. You rather wrap it up, close it up. Just because it has become natural, let it not lose its flavor. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala let us read one Fatiha accepted in Allah's court will open up every door. Imagine many Fatihas. So the angel is there ready to say his army. It's just our mind has to be there. Our mind has to be there. I need a contact on the day of Qiyamah. I will promise to do what I have to do, but to do that I need help. Because on the spot, very few people ever survived. I want to be one of them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillah.